for me, I really look at self-care and spaciousness as a means of not only ensuring that I don't get to that incredibly unhealthy place, but I ensure that I'm doing it so that it still can be fun and enjoyable. Because when I don't have any energy, people aren't getting the best of me anyway.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving with Sharon Saylor. It's my pleasure to be with you here tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Every Friday night, we have a brand new episode, and I'm so excited to be here. The summer has started, and oh, I just love the longer days. I always just feel much more alive and joyful during the longer days, and I hope you've got something fun planned this weekend. You know, I don't, and it feels so refreshing not to have anything planned. I'm so excited about that. And talking about stress and everything, I have with us tonight a dear friend. Her name is Lisa Marie Platsky, and she is an award-winning leadership expert, a number one international best-selling author who creates high-performing leaders, coaching business professionals around the globe. She uses her federal law enforcement journey before and after 9/11 to demonstrate what exceptional leaders do differently, sharing how vulnerability in leadership is critical to being a leader worth following. We'll learn more about Lisa Marie in just a bit, but I want to have her on because tonight we're going to talk about stress and the consequences of not paying attention to stress, as well as understanding boundaries. And I always like to say the value of your yes and the value of your no. So welcome, Lisa Marie. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Sharon. I am honored. I am truly honored to be here.
It's always a thrill to talk to you. She and I had a chance to talk in San Diego not too long ago and decided we got to get you on the show. So thank you for finally being able to get two busy people's schedules to work out here. This is awesome. Now, I know you work a lot with people in designing their destiny. And I asked you to be on the show tonight because I know you talk to people a lot about the stress and the burdens we put on ourselves. So yeah. Can you share a little bit about what you see with all the leaders you work with around the world, how we put much more stress on ourselves than we need to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've been one of those people where I feel that if it's on my list and I will it, you know, that actually I can turn my 24 hours into perhaps 26 and a half. And it's never worked out well for me. When I started my business, I thought that I would be this super wife and put all these things, you know, on my list for, I would be running to work in my office, have a load of laundry in, start dinner, manage a client call. And I thought, you know, all of this was going to get done just beautifully without any consequences. And I was wrong. And I was, you know, terribly wrong. And, you know, finally my newlywed husband said, you know, this just can't last because we aren't going to make it. Like, we aren't going to make it if it's like this. And so I find that when we look at stress and when we look at what happens when someone is in that state, it's often self-imposed deadlines. It's often not the structure that someone sets up. It's often the structure that we create for ourselves. And I found that that was really the case for me at that point in my life.
Oh, when you talk about the things that we create for ourselves inside our own head, really rings true for me. Right before my diagnosis, about 2 years before, I knew something wasn't quite right. But I kept on doing, traveling around the world, giving my speeches, everything else, pushing myself because right. I had self-imposed deadlines. I'm self-employed. I could have stretched out some of those trips or, you know, done right. other things. But I had in my mind this set of rules that once the diagnosis happened, those rules just absolutely got blown out of the water. And here it is 4 years later when I realized those weren't really rules. Those had nothing to do with any outside thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, Sharon, that's just so, it's just such a beautiful sharing. And I love that, you know, that you recognize you can look back the 2 years. And that was just it with me, was that I was, as I looked at what it is that I had created and truly my creation, being self-employed, I would go to speaking engagements and say, okay, how can I get you know, as much done as possible? And rather than giving myself the space when I had an engagement to have some downtime or give myself the gift of self-care or spaciousness, I really would say, okay, how can I get more done? How can I work the entire time on the plane ride and then take no time off in between the next engagement? And now for me, I really look at self-care and spaciousness as a means of not only ensuring that I don't get to that incredibly unhealthy place, but I ensure that I'm doing it so that it still can be fun and enjoyable. Because when I don't have any energy, people aren't getting the best of me anyway. And so now I fly in a day early, and even if it comes out of my own expense, I give myself the space so that I can be my best. And when I look back, I say, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe the habits and that then turned into patterns that created something that really was of nobody else's expectation but mine.
That is so true. Nobody's expectation but mine. When you work with leaders around the world, and I just want to talk about, because I know we're talking about autoimmune and not being well, but I understand that. But I see so many parallels about the coaching you do with leaders and the self-imposed expectations, as I do with people who are in the recovery stage mm-hmm. from any sort of physical condition. So many expectations went through my head early on. Well, like, I should be getting up and doing this. Why don't I have any energy? I should be doing that. I should be doing that. Just because the old expectations kept playing their tapes. What suggestions do you have for people to change the tape?
Wow, that's great. And you're so right. It's that, you know, I should be doing more, right? And I also think that one of the things that I recognized, the tape that came along with this, and I don't know if you had this, Sharon, in changing the tapes, was that for me, I placed more value on something if I worked harder for it. So it was a better accomplishment if, when I was able to say, you know, like I, you know, I worked hard for that. And so that meant that if something also was easier, or I created it simpler, until I changed that tape, I couldn't give myself permission to even celebrate the small wins because it wasn't hard enough. So it wasn't as meaningful. I don't know where that came from. I just will tell you, it didn't serve me very well. So, not sure if you had that.
I didn't have that exact tape. I had the tape of where if it was somebody else's expectation of me, I had promised to do something for someone, even if inside I'm like, no, I don't really want to do that. But I went, yes, no problem. That's where that was self-imposed on me, not the hardness of it. It was taking care of the outside yeses before any of the inside yeses. Mm-hmm. And that's was my tape that had to be changed.
That's fabulous. Well, I think you bring a great point, which is what is the tape that's playing, right? And being mindful of what that might be. For me, I found that number one of the steps for me, even in having conversations with friends of mine who suffered from Hashimoto's and rheumatoid arthritis and other autoimmune diseases, that we were in masterminds together, which is how I met these women. And so we would have conversations about what is it that you have to do in order to ensure that you're not giving the voices that are in your head power. And like I said, I shared one of mine was the not hard enough. And for me, I also had to, what I say, become friends with failure. And that may sound like, well, what do you mean? Like I'm not a failure if I don't do something, or that I, for me, where that came from is that there was the expectation also that things had to be done perfectly, or it didn't mean that there was any value in them. And that for me was something that had to be shifted, that whether or not things were done in 100% correctly by even everybody else's expectations, that it was far more important for me to be able to see the value and, as I say, become friends with failure. And I don't mean that as in making a big huge mistake, but the failure that somebody else may see, well, you know, you didn't get it to me on time, or you didn't get it to me in the manner that I expected, and just to simply be okay with that. And why I feel that was so important is because the voice that matters most was mine. I have a saying in my Design Your Destiny Live event that is, just because you can doesn't mean you should. And so you might be able to, you might be capable, but it doesn't mean that you really should be saying yes or should be doing this at this moment in time. And that means that you're going to deal with consequences and perhaps fallout, or perhaps something, something else around that. And the second piece to that with regards to me mentioning the failure piece, is that you're not always going to get it right 100% of the time. And I believe that I had an expectation, and that's what really caused some stress around me, creating those lists and having to do it, in this manner. And if it meant staying up all hours of the night so that I wasn't going to disappoint somebody. So there were pieces of my own self-value and worth that had to come into play. And one of the things that I started to do was, in my Designing Your Destiny book, there's three questions I ask: who are you, what do you want, and why does it matter? And this is not based on energy. This isn't based on where, whether or not you feel that you can. It's really about identifying that. And then the who I am, I created all of these I am statements for myself. I am strong, I am powerful, I am talented, I am gifted, I am compassionate, I am kind, to really fully embody what that is. And one of them is, I'm perfect in my imperfections. And that is all permission-based and choice-based for me to recognize that I don't have to do it all, and I certainly don't have to do it all alone. So I'm hoping that is a tool that somebody else can take and use, because it was really critical for me on days when I didn't want to disappoint and wanted to do more.
It is a critical. I love those questions. Curious though, I know when I first got my diagnosis, and probably for a good year afterwards as the healing journey progressed, I wasn't sure who I was anymore. It was a real identity crisis that happened, even though I refused to accept the label that was going to be my life, of the diagnosis, when they give you all these get real statements that are just horrible outcomes. I refused to accept those. However, you do go through an identity crisis when any sort of trauma, it doesn't have to be a diagnosis, it could be any sort of trauma happens, that where you're like, have to go through those questions all over again and reaffirm you still are kind, you still are generous, you still are helpful, you still are knowledgeable in this and that. And I think that answering those questions helps when you go through these moments of crisis, to be able to reaffirm, yes, this diagnosis is here and we're working with that, and all of these other things haven't changed. I am still all of these other things.
I think that is just pure gold. That's just exquisite, because that's it. I question the who I am on probably, for me, a weekly, if not daily basis. And That's because, as you mentioned, diagnoses, trauma, they oftentimes take on the same qualities, if you will. It doesn't mean that you get to a place where you say, oh yes, I can, I'm 100% certain. You're 100% certain in the moment. But life is, you know, ebbs and flows and a roller coaster ride. And so I love that you shared, you know, when I got to that point, I was not clear. Like, I wasn't clear. And then I had to reaffirm. That was the word that you used, was reaffirm. And I think that's the thing for me, is that I look at this as a tool where I'm continually reaffirming who I am, because this is my stand of who it is that I want to be in the world, regardless of what circumstances are going on around me, or regardless of what is happening that's, I like to say happening for me, not to me. And what's the good that can come out of this? I couldn't have a company that's called Upside Thinking if I didn't look for the upside in everything that happens, right? So that doesn't necessarily mean that there's always clarity, or that I don't forget. So I want to be clear that it's not that I, in that moment, started asking those questions and then from there on it was like, yay. No, I think that as things have kind of rocked me to my core, or whether it's loved ones, you know, and what they're dealing with, or things in my business, there's a constant need to reaffirm the who I am. And I believe that that makes a huge difference. So I appreciate you sharing that, and love that acknowledgement that there's a reaffirmation of that.
Constantly, not always around my diagnosis, as you said, just around life in general. We need to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Lisa Marie more about this idea of boundaries, yes and no, who we are, and regardless of our diagnosis, it's really important that we get clear on who we are and why we're here. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving. And we're talking tonight with Lisa Marie Platsky, and she helps high-performing leaders become the best that they can be. She helps them design their destiny. And tonight, we're talking about everything around designing our destiny. I say after the diagnosis, because for me, I'm celebrating the month of my 4-year anniversary of the diagnosis. Funny thing to celebrate, but since I'm putting myself absolutely in the thriving category, I want to redesign my destiny, lay out where I'm going now, as well as reaffirm everything that I've learned in these past 4 years. So tonight we have Lisa Marie on, and we've been discussing all these interesting questions about how you find out who you are. And I love that one that you said, why does it matter? I think a lot of times people lose sight of that question, and instead they're asking themselves when they're ill, do I matter? And so I like to shift. Why does it matter? Why do these plans that I'm making for my future matter? I think is a critical one when we're not feeling up to par.
Wow, that's powerful, to shift the focus from why do I matter versus, you know, why does it matter? That's huge. As somebody who has struggled with do I matter at various points in my life, just because of background, and I called the police often as a child for domestic violence incidents, and often had that question, did God forget about me? Do I matter? That to even hear you say that and changing the language, does it matter? Does what it is that I'm called to do or the destiny that I want to design, does it matter? That's been my question. And I find that when there's clarity around that, the desire to make changes and to move forward is one where then you get to be moved forward by a vision versus, you know, pushed by something that you feel that you have to move towards. It's very different. There's almost like a natural magnetic pull.
And absolutely. When I started the Autoimmune Hour, it mattered to me from the place of frustration. It mattered to me because I was so frustrated I couldn't get doctors to listen to me, even with all my training and communication skills. I'm thinking, even with all of my degrees and everything in communications, I can't get this doctor to listen to me. What is the average person who's feeling crummy with an autoimmune diagnosis going through? I can't imagine that. So it was things like that outside of me, frustrations really, that were inside of me that I was projecting, like, I can't be the only one dealing with this.
Right.
That it became more important than me. And I think that is critically strong, not just in recovery, but in our life in general, that everyone, when they find that moment of passion, that it that propels them. Otherwise, I found that I was in those moments of despair, I was sort of being dragged along by life instead of propelled by it.
Yes. Yes. And you know, we're in the midst right now of my dealing with my stepfather, who was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease. And it's really interesting to watch him and have conversations with him about, well, what do you want? What do you want with your life? So you're at this place, and is there more that you actually want? Like, why does it matter for you to go through the difficulty of this experimental treatment and having to drive an hour and a half and sit there all day for several days and stay in a hotel for a week and then come home and change your life? Like, hopefully there's something else there for you of why your life matters. And it's interesting. My brother got married after he turned 40, and he's significantly younger, and, you know, God love him. He's finally settled down. I just, you know, just so warms my heart to see this and to watch him create this beautiful life. And as he has spoken about having children, I watch my dad, you know, come alive with more excitement around the possibility of spending time with another generation, and also what it is that he has to bring to the world, and coming up with that why it matters to go through all the challenges that he's going through and to still have the will to say there's more for me is just so amazing to watch. And I have been likening it to my own journey, you know, in my business and my own life in general. There's absolutely the it for me in making a bigger difference in the world. And that's the thing that gets me out of bed. And so watching this and his connection to family being the it for him is, you know, has just been so heartwarming. I do believe that it's important in order to be able to answer those questions. What do you want, and why does it really matter to you?
Oh, absolutely. And one thing you pointed out, and this, I just want to make sure people aren't doing any judging, is this idea that it, the size of the it, the placement of the it, none of that matters as long as it's important to you. Don't let anyone judge you out of your it.
You know? Thank you. And thank you for saying that. That's really so true. Whether, you know, I that's actually one of the things I talk about in my business is that, you know, if the change that you want to affect is in your household, it's no less valuable than if you're looking for it to be a global impact. There is no, what I always say is how you define your world is your business. So if you want to affect change in your world, that it's left up to you for however it is you want to define that. And there's no better or with larger, smaller, different sizes, different directions. It's just all good. It's whatever you're called to do.
Absolutely. And I, that's not just with an autoimmune diagnosis either. That's how I, when I'm working with my clients in the professional world that I work in as well, that's so true that too often they're like, well, I really want to do this. And then there's always a but. Someone else doesn't approve or someone else thinks it's silly or whatever. And I'm like, that, define your it and go for it. It's my thing. One of the things that I want to talk to you about, because I know you're an expert in, is in setting boundaries and having people be able to define what is their yes and what is a no. Because I've often had the saying where I say, if you don't know the value of your no and you don't know the value of your yes, you'll end up saying yes to things that should have been a no.
Oh, have I been there?
I think we all can raise our hand, right?
Yes.
That just didn't come out of my head. That came out of life experience.
Yep, that's why when you said that, I was like, oh, you know, she knows me. one of the things my mentor says that I love is he says, you know, there's the cost to something and there's the value of something, and they're very different, and you have to understand them. For me, the yeses and nos with setting boundaries, Sharon, I think that every time you say yes to something, you simultaneously say no to something else. And so if yes becomes your favorite word, then what are the things in your life that you're saying no to? Because anytime you say yes, you say no to something else. And that's really where knowing and understanding and recognizing your non-negotiables and putting those into place is so important. I invite everybody that I know to make a list of non-negotiables. Here's the things in my life that I'm not willing to negotiate. Here's the things that you're clear that you don't want to negotiate. And whether it's leaving work at a certain time, whether it's that you don't want to negotiate spending a certain amount of quality time with loved ones, whether it's, you know, any number of things, having that clear idea of what is most valuable to you that you wouldn't be willing to negotiate in your life around. And then the second part of that is understanding the consequences of the yeses and the nos. I found for myself that although it seemed like I was doing a great favor for people by saying yes an awful lot years ago, that not only was the consequence to me burnout, but the consequence was also that every time I said yes to something at no, every time I said yes to something, I was simultaneously saying no to time with my husband, because there's only 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And those no's really to our relationship in the beginning were the things that my husband was like, you know, how are we going to continue on? Because if it's always work and it's always projects and it seeps into the evening and it seeps into the weekends and it seeps into everything else, there are things that I'm clearly saying no to. And when I learned to create those boundaries, there was time for volunteer work and there was time for loved ones, and there was time for me to actually have outside interests and to read books and to meditate and to exercise and to do other things. And as I said, I believe in spaciousness. So I don't want you to think like, oh my gosh, how full can that be? I just am really clear that living an intentional life where I'm clear about the consequence of the yes and the consequence of the no, every time I utter those words, it is one that allows me to live that intentional life. And some days I have more energy than other days. And sometimes, you know, the win is not the yes, the win is the no. And more often than not, in creating the spaciousness, the win comes from the no.
Oh, true, true. I want to talk about non-negotiables when we get back from this quick commercial break. And we'll talk to Lisa Marie about that and more. As you can see, these are just golden nuggets here. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour, but maybe you didn't know I'm also an author, mostly nonfiction. But recently I delved into the world of children's fiction with the Pinky Chenille series. If you haven't had a chance to check out Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, go over and check it out at pinkychenille.com. That's Pinky, P-I-N-K-Y, Chenille, C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. Thanks. See you there.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour, Surviving to Thriving with Sharon Saylor. And we have just been getting golden nugget after golden nugget tonight. One of the things I wanted to circle back on about non-negotiables, as Lisa Marie described them so beautifully, is when we think about a non-negotiable, I can come up with some real easy ones just right off the top of my head. But when I started to discover where I was going, ouch, in my life, by that, a particular thing comes to mind. I was talking to, I'll just generically say, a relative, and this particular person just has a cutting, they think, sense of humor. I just think it's mean, but whatever. And every time I was near that person, I'm saying internally, ouch. You know, I got to the point where I said, that's it, enough of this. This is a non-negotiable. I am not going to put up with this behavior. And at first it was very, very clumsy, but after a while, taught that person, you don't talk to me like that. That's a non-negotiable. So it can be that kind of non-negotiable too that creates a lot more peace in your life when you look at those places where you go, ouch, and you make that a non-negotiable.
Absolutely. I have what I call a 100-foot rule. And my 100-foot rule is I don't allow any sort of negativity or unkindness within 100 feet of me. And what I find so fascinating is that when I go out and about and I'm like I don't know, going to, let's say I go to a conference, or let's say that I even go to Costco to go shopping, I find that it's really interesting that this barrier that I have created, this sort of energetic boundary, I really don't meet people who are mean. And what's interesting about this is that I do this annual gratitude party at my house every December 30th. And I invite people who I'm grateful for. It could be somebody who painted my house. It could be my realtor. It could be women from the National Association of Women Business Owners. It could be clients, people who, boards I sat on. It could be any number of people, church, you know, you name it. They're all invited. And so it's really kind of an eclectic group. But I had somebody say to me at my house when I had moved to the Washington, D.C. area, wow, it's like you have this list of people that you vetted who are all like really, really, really happy, upside people. And I just had to laugh because I'm like, that's my 100-foot rule. And the non-negotiable is that I just don't allow it. And so people say, like, how do you find, you know, this realtor or this contractor or this person who does your roof, like, where do you find them? I am real clear that this non-negotiable for me is one that works for me. So they just don't come around. They don't get invited in. They're just, they understand that it's not a parameter. There's a perimeter. And so it's not a parameter that's in my life.
I kind of liken that to that idea of seeing red cars, where, you know, you buy a red car that you think is so distinct, and the next thing you know, you look around driving the street off the lot, and there's, you know, 100 of these red cars.
Yeah.
The same idea. I only accept kind people in my life, and that's all that really continue to show up after a while. That's all you see.
That's it.
I love that. I hadn't thought about equating the seeing red cars to people's temperaments. That's great.
Yep. The others just aren't allowed. they're just not allowed here. I mean, and it's not that I don't love them from afar. And I make it very clear with family members too. Like, it's not allowed. And one of the things that I think that comes from too is because you get what you tolerate. Mm. You get what you tolerate. And so if you tolerate behavior that is unkind, or you know, it's sort of like a friend in our circle. My husband and I are always fascinated because anytime this person flies, their flight's delayed. Like every single time they fly, it's kind of like the red car. Right? Like how could it be possible that like one? And I still think that there's an energetic around that. Like how are you the one person that, you know, that always misses their flight? I'm just fascinating to me. And they fly often, you know, so it's not a good thing. I never, ever, ever have a problem. So,
well, that's part of this, who am I and why does it matter? And this idea of, I imagine, making a list of these non-negotiables and boundaries of where that is a non-negotiable, like how far out does it extend?
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about putting things around like my flights, or I do have a friend that says they're always blessed with hitting green lights, and it seems to be true. So this is an interesting concept I'll have to explore.
Yes, I have a parking. I always get the best parking spot, whatever that looks like, always. And it always happens. I'm the same thing with flights, the same thing with like upgrades or like unexpected blessings is one of the things that I'll say. And it just really is like, that's the expectation. And then the non-negotiable is that I don't allow anything less because I matter and because, you know, who I am matters. And so it doesn't come from a place of like demanding or I must have. It comes from a place of pure abundance and not a fear or lack that anything less would happen. And so it's the same thing. I can go to an event and I can say, you know, all of the people that I'm supposed to meet with big opportunities for me in the room, and they'll put all these people up on stage at an event, and I'll go like, who are those people? Like, I was here for 3 days and I didn't meet any of those people. But like, then there'll be my circle of people that I meet. So I do it in every single arena that you can possibly imagine. And sometimes my husband will say like, how did this happen to us? Like, how is this even possible? And I'm like, Yeah, I just believe that the Holy Spirit has good things that are just going to continue to show up. And I'm clear that that's my non-negotiable.
I love that. I love that. A lot of people, when they think of non-negotiable, it's a real tangible. I mean, you can touch it, you can taste it, whatever. It's a real tangible. And yet, I love this idea of putting non-negotiables on so many things that happen to us, a parking spot, green lights, whatever. That's really great. That's awesome. Let's jump into the ideas of the value of the yes and no. We touched on that very briefly. What if you're one of those people who has built the expectation based on your past experience that, oh, just ask Sharon, she'll do it. How do you retrain people after you've trained them in a way that you find is less than beneficial?
Well, I'll share with you one of the things that I had to do, because my initial desire was to say yes. Like, definitely grew up as a people pleaser and definitely, you know, suffered from good girl syndrome and was like, you know, I'm gonna do the right thing and I'm gonna say yes and you're gonna like me. And so what I gave myself space to do before I ever moved to no was to say, thank you so much for asking. I'd like to think about that. So at least it wasn't a no, but it was like a pause before the yes came out. And so I had to give myself, you know, this like, okay, like give yourself kudos that they asked you, right? So meanwhile, they asked you because you're the person who usually says yes and gets it done. But it's like, okay, so I'm going to give myself the kudos for that. And then I'm going to say, you know, I'd like to look at that. Let me think about that. And, or sometimes I'd say, you know, let me look at my schedule, but I would say something that was pretty much like put it on pause before I jumped into the yes. And then eventually I was able to actually say, I want to check my calendar, and I would, you know, would be able to share that before I could actually ever move into the no, which is now, you know, I'm really clear with my non-negotiables and with what I have on my plate and the boundaries that I have set, that sometimes it's just a really clear no. And I'm okay with that, but I had to give myself permission and learn by just simply taking a pause. And then the other thing is, the second piece to that, Sharon, for me was understanding that in that whole you get what you tolerate, that there's a setting of expectations that people have about our time and how we value our time. And I recognize that for me, that because I was sort of willy-nilly with my time, and it was something that I sort of gave freely without really understanding the incredible value that there's 84,000 minutes a day, and at some point I'm going to run out, and what if I have this great big mission or my it that matters and it's left unfinished, and the only person on the planet who could finish it is me, then there was this sense of responsibility as well. And so I became more, my time became much more precious than even looking at money, because it's the only thing that's finite. It once it runs out, that's it, it's gone. And so those two pieces for me really made a difference, the having the power of the pause and understanding what I could say. And then the second part, really understanding the value of my time and setting expectations around it.
Wow. So many things came up for me through that one. And as I'm looking at the video camera here, I'm realizing of the two unfinished books that are sitting on the desktop of the computer going, yes, there, I'm the one who is finishing these as they sit here unfinished for several months, and my editor saying, when are they coming? Okay, that was interesting. But you're so true about that, about time and how we choose to use it. And you choosing to use it in the frame of healing from the autoimmune condition is critical. I made a time, I put my life on pause for quite a while. I did not become a thriver overnight. I just want everyone to understand that it was a process. It was a process of getting through day by day, and then week by week, and month by month, and everything continued to change from there. But I love that idea of being able to just have that filler pause. So your first instinct, oh, sure, I can do that. And later you're like, darn, why did I say that? I love your filler. Let me check my schedule, or let me think about that, or I'll get back to you tomorrow. I suppose you could even use somebody outside. I need to check with my husband. I suppose you could use some sort of fall guy too, if you absolutely needed to. I need to check with my dog.
Right. You know, I really wanted to be the one that I recognized that this was my concern. If I would have said the thing with my husband and somebody check with my husband, my husband would have said, sure, she can do that. So there's a little bit of concern around that for me.
Okay. I'll go with the dog then. I'll let my dog be the fall guy. Oh my goodness. That was so power packed. We're down to just the last 10 minutes or so, and I want to have plenty of time for them to know more about you. But what are some other tips that you have? I know, especially talking about partners here, sometimes boundaries get tougher when the people are closer to us. I mean, maybe that was somebody at the PTA where I said I need to check with my dog. What happens when we're dealing with boundaries with people that are very close to us?
Oh, that's such a great question. Oh, from the standpoint of me, what pops into my mind is I'm seeing my parents, I'm seeing, you know, my husband, I'm seeing my siblings, I'm seeing all of the need, you know, in my own unit, let alone the people who are my closest and dearest friends. And I go back to you know, what I had shared earlier, which is, you know, being incredibly clear and setting the expectations about what it is that you're willing and not willing to do. And for me, what I find is that if I share with people what I have on my plate, and if I'm openly communicating, and you're a communication expert, so you know the value, you know, just the value of that. I get my calendar out with the people that I love and the people I'm closest to, my closest friends, my husband, you know, my parents, my siblings, on a pretty regular basis, to share what I'm doing with my work and what I have. And then I will make it clear to them that they're important, and what is it that they have going on that they might need my support, because I want to be proactive about it. And so, for example, right now my parents are in the process of downsizing and I travel. And so I want to be able to be there for them. And rather than getting a phone call that says, hey, can you do this for me on this day? And the answer is no, because I'm not in town. I'm already looking at planning ahead with them so that they're aware of what it is I'm doing. So that's one thing. So then, of course, there's things that come up that might be an emergency. And for me, you know, the biggest gift that I've given myself is that when I do say no, that it doesn't come with a heaping of shame and guilt like it used to years ago. And what I will do is I will look for what could potentially be a possibility. If it's a no for me, I might say, you know what, when I look at my calendar, if I'm really honest about whether or not I have the bandwidth to take this on right now, the answer is no. However, I'm committed to being able to support you. And let me just check in whether or not that's going to be something physical. Perhaps I can find someone else to help you with this, or whether or not it's just simply me offering prayers and support to you. And what has happened for me is that even within the family unit itself, that I have created allies with family members to be able to help me in getting something done, versus me feeling like the only one who can do it is me. There's something incredibly codependent about that feeling. And that's why I say, for me, it's like the shame and the guilt. I don't want to have that heaping of that. I want it to truly be something that feels like an empowered and a really good decision. And so, you know, using those pieces, because you're right, you're 100% right, when it's family members and when we want so much to be a yes, but we're feeling incredibly depleted, and we are clear that, you know, and I have been clear, I won't even say we, that I am clear that I have no more to give, that it's only going to be a disservice. And then the other thing too is that when I have violated that, Sharon, I've been angry. I've been angry at myself, and I've been angry at them for asking. And so it's much better for me to stay in the healthy place of saying, I really want to, and I love you so much, and I just can't in this manner.
Yeah. It's funny that what popped into my mind was a conversation the other day. I bumped into someone's mother. I hadn't seen the person in years, and the mother in even far longer, just chance meeting. And I happened to say, "So, what is so-and-so doing?" And they looked at me and they sort of gave me this vague thing, but I realized they don't even know what their own child does. They're close. I know they're close. And yet this mother wasn't able to describe what their child did for a living. And I thought it was fascinating that how would someone understand if you had to say no, what was going on in your life, if you didn't even know some of the higher points of their life? You have to have those conversations. You have to have those points of clarity and clear expectations with your family members.
Yeah. You know, my husband travels. And so because he's on the road, there's the piece where if something happens here in our home, it's me, right? It's me that's, however, I travel a lot too. Because his job is 24/7 and I work for myself, there's more of an expectation. And sometimes I just have to say, you know what? I just can't make that phone call. I can't make it until Thursday. And if you need the phone call to be made and it's, you know, and it's Sunday before then you're going to have to carve 5 minutes out of your schedule or half an hour out of your schedule. Because when I look at my schedule, there is no way to be able to do that. But if we weren't communicating about what it is, because he has a 24/7 job and travels, and with my responsibilities, I think that it's really easy to resent. Like, why not? Like, you work from home. Like, why can't you make a phone call? Like, big deal. And so to avoid all of that, you know, it's the reason, you know, why, you know, this is your area of expertise, because you understand how important it is that the communication and opening the doors, it can defuse so many other stories or snowball and have just life to get out of control. And still, when it's somebody that you love, that is a hard conversation for me to have with my husband, because I love him so much and I want to, and I want to find those extra 5 minutes or 30 minutes. And some weeks the answer is I just don't have it, either based on emotionally where I am or physically with my time constraints.
I'm glad you brought those both up, because sometimes I might have the 5 minutes according, I might be able to carve out 5 minutes in my calendar, but for whatever reason, that particular day, that particular moment, emotionally, right, spiritually, it's just not happening. Energetically, it's just not happening. And I've had to give myself grace to understand that works for me and that works for other people in my world, that if they are in that place where energetically it's just not happening, it's the same as it's physically, it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. Now, Lisa Marie, we're just down to the last few minutes, and I want everybody to know more about you and the work that you do and your book, all of that great stuff. So please share with us how people can find out more about you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, find out more about me. I have a website, upsidethinking.com, UPSIDE, and the word thinking.com. And on there, you can find some pretty cool resources. And I love connection. Connection is something that I just, you know, I mean, that's, you know, Sharon, you and I connected years ago and have met in person several times in different cities in the country.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and just love that. So, you know, find
me. Never once in the same city, Lisa Marie.
That's right. That's exactly right. Never once in the same city. And there's more. And there's more. We will be meeting in other places. So, but if you're not going to come and travel and see me, you can find me on LinkedIn or find me on Facebook and connect with me there, and, you know, send me a message. I just love people and love connecting, and, you know, and I have an annual conference, Design Your Destiny Live. And so if you're really clear that designing your destiny is where you're at, you can find more about that at designyourdestinylive.com. Have to think about that, Sharon.
Yeah, that's a long one.
Design, yeah, your destiny. And then LIVE.com. Yes. And there's, you know, on the Upside Thinking website, there's information about books and, like I said, free resources and tools, and just have such been a blessing to be here with you. Have so enjoyed our time and being able to talk about, you know, when you think about leadership and you think about autoimmune and you think about boundaries and you think about all the things that you were able to pull in and put together, because ultimately you're designing your destiny and leading your life in order to move in that from surviving to thriving mode. It takes all of that. So I thank you for all of your courage and your journey to be able to have this show and having me on as a guest.
Well, thank you, Lisa Marie. It's always an honor to have you. And I love seeing your bright, shiny face every time we get together here. As well as I wanted to share, though, this idea of when you say autoimmune and leadership and all of that, to me, as I have always thought, how you do one area of your life is how you do your whole life, whether that's leadership or healing. I've noticed people even, you know, how you do money is how you do healing, all connected. So if you're finding that you're struggling in one area of your life, the minute you change how you're doing that, other things automatically change, which I find so fascinating. But I guess, Lisa Marie, that's for you and I, that's a whole nother show.
It is, but spoken like a truth teller. You're so right. You know, I have found that in various areas of my life. And, you know, it's like, oh, so there's an issue here. Oh, that's the reason why this is showing up. Oh, and meanwhile, two completely different, you could talk about family, could talk about business, could talk about, like you said, healing. And it's like, oh, isn't that something?
The pattern is the pattern. Right. I hate to say that, guys, to you. You're like, oh, but I'm so good over here. It's not about being bad or good. It's about the patterns you use to make the decisions and how you move through life. So watch for your patterns as well. Yes. Everyone, we're out of time. We'll have Lisa Marie back because this has just been great fun. I love going into areas of unexpected ways to find healing through your life. As always, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Join me next Friday night, 7 p.m. for a new episode, and enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio.